This morning, I'd like to take the Bibles and turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the Word of God. And two Sunday mornings ago, we talked about the rare word in the time of Eli the prophet in the nation of Israel. And if the word is rare or rarely found in your life, the way of God is not going to be found. The worship of God is not going to be found. The work of God is not going to be found. Because the word needs to work in our lives. It needs to be accepted. Last week, in the evening, we talked about the Word of God. And there were things that we knew about, that we know about God's Word. And I am excited that I have the privilege of teaching 11th and 12th grade Bible in my school, because we're going to talk about worldview. We're going to talk about the truth of God's Word. And we need to understand that God's Word is infallible, it's inerrant. It doesn't have any error in it at all. Because the source, God Himself, cannot lie. He is full of truth. Because His knowledge does not change. His judgments do not change. And because when we allow God's Word to work in us, we get the best result possible. The result is impeccable. The Word of God is inspired. God gave this. It's not what man thinks up. Man thinks up books. God thinks up His Word. And to prove it, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who lived the Word. He was the Word. We need to understand the Word of God is inspired in its entirety. Its authorship. Everyone was moved by the Spirit of God and in its authority. God's Word should be the number one standard for the Christian. And then lastly, the Word of God is instructive. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "For all Scripture is given by inspiration, and is what? Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished to good works." So this morning we're going to talk about what God told Joshua about the Word of God. And so we're going to look at Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. And the title of my sermon this morning is Flourishing on God's Word. Flourishing on God's Word. We're going to be looking at the first 8 verses of Joshua chapter 1. But before we go to the Scripture, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this day, Lord. We thank You for an opportunity, Lord, to open Your Word. Father, we ask that Your Holy Spirit have full reign here. We ask that Satan would be bound. Father, we ask that all distractions be taken away. Father, we ask that Your truth be shown in our hearts, Lord, and that it would change us. Father, help us to decide for You today, Lord. Help us, Lord, to decide on the basis of Your Word what we need to do. Lord, we ask that You just be with us time, Lord. Let it honor and glorify You, because You and You alone are worthy. We ask these things in the power of Your Son's name. Amen. In our Scripture this morning, it says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast." We know today modern Israel is nowhere close to that. You know why? Because God's people didn't follow God. They didn't do what God wanted them to do. But in verse 5 it says this, it says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." And because of that promise, verse 6 comes along. "Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous." When God says something twice, better listen.
Yep.
Amen. Better listen to it. And he's trying to get Joshua's attention, that thou mayest observe to do all, to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee, turn not from it to the right or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And then a very familiar verse. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. In a way of introduction, Joshua is given a charge by God. Moses is not going to be able to take the people in to the promised land because of his disobedience. Joshua has been Moses' right-hand man ever since they left Egypt. But now Moses is dead. And now Joshua is standing alone. You know, there's a lot of things in our life that we think we're standing alone. You go to a new school and you think you're by yourself. You lose a family member to death and you think you're by yourself. You lose a friend and you think you're by yourself. And it's obvious here that Joshua is feeling the burden that's on him for leading this people. And he's going to have to stand alone at times. But you know something? God says, I'll never fail you, nor forsake you. You need to understand that whenever you are alone, you truly are not alone if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen. God is with you. He says, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. So Joshua is now facing this task alone. Maybe you have some problem or some thing in your life that you think that you're alone. I want to give you some encouragement today. What God told Joshua worked for us. And so, he's now standing alone, but God comes to him. And when we think there's no one else, God's going to come to him. And he's going to show himself. He says, all that stuff that Moses was supposed to do, it's still undone. There's a lot of things in the world that when the leader of that thing goes, that whole project goes. And it just goes away. But God's word is eternal. God's will is eternal. God's will happen. He says, my word will not return void, but it's going to accomplish that which I please. Amen. That which I sent it to do. Amen. So, he says, Joshua, even though Moses is dead, the work is still there. You're not alone. Oh, by the way, the work is just beginning. They're on the eastern shore of Jordan. Jericho lies in front of them. They haven't sent in the spies to Jericho yet. And we see that it's just beginning. They haven't even stepped into the promised land. And there's a lot of ground to cover. Not only do we get daunted by being alone, but sometimes we get daunted by the task that's in front of us. But God's got you. God's got you. There's a lot of ground to cover. Basically from modern day Iraq all the way to the Mediterranean Sea. All the way down to the Nile River. That was what Joshua was given to go and to divide up as an inheritance. But it's just beginning. He says there are going to be battles to fight. Is there going to be people to stand up? And not only do we feel alone, not only do we have these great big tasks, not only do we think that the task is too big, but there's people that stand in the way. And that just frustrates us. But God's Word can conquer all. Come back tonight and we'll talk about what God's Word can do in Romans chapter 8. And so, the Lord's telling Joshua, he says, this is who you need to be. He says here in verse 6, he says, be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and what? Very courageous. Folks, don't you want to give up at times? Don't you say it's not worth it? We need to basically be strong and very courageous to go beyond that, to go to where God wants us to go. That thou mayest what? To observe all, to do all according to the law. See, there's a commandment that was decreed to Joshua. He says, just listen to me and it's going to be okay. I'll tell you what, I've never seen anybody fail by following the Lord God. I've never seen anybody fail by actually trusting in genuine faith to the Word of God. The Bible says, the Psalm says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. And the Lord declares to Joshua here, he says, look, this is the commandment that you need to do. And this is the commitment that is desired. You got to stay on the straight line. You know, sometimes we try to get around the problem. Sometimes we try to turn our back on the problem. But God wants you to go straight at it. He wants you to go straight at it. And he says, don't turn from the right hand or to the left. And if you do that, then you're going to be prosperous. So this morning we're going to look at verse 8. We're going to break it down into three parts. And we'll see basically how we can be successful like Joshua did. How we can be strong and of a good courage like Joshua. In order to do that, the first thing is that the presence of the Lord, of God's Word, must be required. It must be here. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. There's three things that we see in this verse this morning. First of all, it says, this book of the law. Now, I know that when you were in school, that you just looked at what you needed, you thought you needed to know, or what would answer the question. And so you took out a page, or you took out, you know, one chapter, and you studied that. Or you went down and you got Cliff Notes. And you tried to do it that way. No. If you want God to work in your life, you need the whole book of the law, and it needs to be complete. You know, the presence of God's Word is required completely in every phase of your life. In Joshua 23, verse 7, Joshua's now old. All these things have happened. He goes and he tells the people. He says, be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law. Sound familiar? Joshua lived his entire life like that. Now, he made some mistakes. The people made some mistakes. But Joshua was following God, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left. Folks, if you want God to work in your life, you need the presence of God work in your life completely. Amen. All of it. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is profitable. So, the presence of God's Word is required completely. All of it. It's required continually. He says that what? He says you need to, basically, it shall not depart. You know, sometimes we give up on something, we just throw it aside. Never throw the Bible aside. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7, this was Moses commanding the people, and he says, and thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children. Folks, parents, if you don't teach God's Word to your kids, the school's not going to do it. The world's not going to do it. You need to do it. It's your responsibility.
Amen.
But here's the point. It says, and shall what? Talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou layest down, and when thou risest up. You know, that kind of covers the entire day.
And night.
We should have God's Word present in our lives continually.
Amen.
Completely. Everything. And then the third thing is, not depart out of thy what?
Mouth.
It needs to be conversational.
Amen.
When you talk, what do people hear? We're supposed to have our speech seasoned with grace. The only place you get grace is from God. And the point that we need to understand is, is our conversation should be different from the world's conversation. It all deals with the heart. In Luke chapter 6, verse 45, it says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. And look at this next phrase, folks. This is Jesus speaking. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh.
Amen.
If your heart is full of God, you'll speak godly things. If your heart is full of the world, you'll speak worldly things. Your speech gives you away to who you really are. And so Joshua's going to have to stand in front of the people, and he's going to have to speak God's word every day, all the time. So they follow. He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of it. The presence of God's word is required completely, continually, in conversation. Secondly, you know, it's just not saying it, it's actually believing it. And in order to believe it, you need to think on it. You need to make it part of your life. This morning we talked about what doctrine is. And doctrine is a teaching, but the issue is that it's a teaching that changes your behavior. You actually believe it. And so the second point in this verse is the practice of meditation on the Word. You know, some people only think of God's Word on Sunday morning when they're in church. We need to do it all the time. We need to do it all the time. It says, but thou shalt what? Meditate therein day and night. There's a priority that is required. There's a priority that is required. It's going to take effort. It's going to take effort and time. He tells Joshua, he says, you're going to meditate therein day and night. In Psalm chapter 119, verse 148, it says, my eyes prevent the night watch. I'll stay up late to read God's Word. I'll get up early to read God's Word because I need it.
Amen.
If I want God to work in my life, it can't be rare in my life. And he says that I might what? Meditate in thy Word. To meditate is to memorize. To meditate is to understand. To meditate is to know. You know, there's a lot of people who know a lot of facts, but they can't apply a single one of them. There's a lot of people who know the Bible, they can't apply it at all in their life, or they don't know it, they can't share it. They can't share it. Folks, to meditate, it takes time. It takes time. He says, I may meditate and I worry. He says, y'all shall meditate there a day and night in totality. Paul gives an instruction to Timothy in the New Testament. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15, he says, meditate on these things. What things? God's Word. Give thyself what? Holy. Now, there's only one whole, and it's one. After that, it's fractional. God doesn't want a fraction of your life. God wants all of you.
Amen.
Give thyself holy to them, that by thy property may what? Appear to all. So the practice of meditating was given to Joshua. He said, look, he says, you're going to have to follow the Word if you want to do this big task. You're not alone. You will be able to turn it back on me. He says, the people will see and they'll profit from this. You need a priority of God's Word. And you're like, folks, we all need a priority of God's Word in our life. We need a perspective that is required to adequately meditate on God's Word. You know, what you do is based on because you think there's a benefit in it. We don't do anything that we think is a what? Waste of time. And so the point here is that we need a perspective. It says, thou shalt meditate therein day and night. We need to see that it's worth it. God's Word is worth it. Meditating on God's Word is worth it. I got the it's right this time. Okay? You did last Sunday night, it was all messed up. But the point is, we need to understand that God's Word is worth it. And Psalm 119, verse 9 says, oh, how I love thy law. It is what? My meditation all the day. You know, Paul writes in Colossians, says, singing all the time in your heart, melody to God. Everything we do should be praise to God. We need to understand that God's word is worth it.
Amen.
You know, if someone has good news, you'll listen to them. And if it's good to you, you'll share it.
Amen.
Because you think it's worth it. And folks, we need to understand that God's word is worth it.
Amen.
And that's the perspective that's required. And it brings us to worship. It brings us to worship. In Psalm 19, verse 14, it says, let the words of my mouth, where did that come from? The abundance of the heart. And the meditation of my heart, the heart, be what? Acceptable in thy sight. You want to do things God's way? You got to do it according to God's word. And of course, God works through His Word. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? Word of God. Be acceptable, and be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, and what? Perfect will of God. Be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So Joshua is told to meditate. It's going to take time. It's going to take effort. You need to meditate on all of it, not just what you like about it, even the parts that you dislike about it. You need to understand it's worthy to do. You need to understand it needs to bring worship to your heart to God. And then, thirdly, the preparation that it provides, that thou mayest what? Observe to do. According to all that is written herein. Here's what God wants to do in your life. Here's what He wants you to do in your life. He wants you to do what God wants the way He wants. Yeah. Isaiah 56 verse 1 says, thus saith the Lord, keep. Now, this issue about observe is a word that means to keep. Keep in sight. Keep it in conduct. Keep it in your life. Keep it in your life. He says, thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment. Well, if you keep God's judgment, then you're going to do the right thing. And what? Do justice. For my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Folks, if we do things that God wants us to do the way He wants us to do, people are going to see that. They were going to see that in Joshua, and it didn't matter how big the adversary were. Didn't matter how much land they were going to have to conquer. Didn't matter how many cities they were going to have to fight against. Because they knew that God was with Joshua. Yeah, it's good enough for Joshua, it's good enough for me.
Yeah.
And folks, people are looking at us. And folks, we need to live our lives and show that God is good enough for us, so they'll do it too. Not only is the preparation that provides us to do what God wants the way He wants, it's to understand God's why on what He wants to be done. You know, if you're a parent, you ask your kids to do something, the first phrase they say is, what? What? You know, we should be asking God, why? Okay? We should understand. Now, I know that you teenagers, you young people, think you know it all. I've been told by that on my kids. Okay? You probably teach, I don't need, I've had a student come into my class and say, I don't need this class because I know it all. I said, okay, really? Solve this equation. Well, I don't know that. Well, then you don't know it all, do you? See, the issue is that God wants us to understand. We have the what? Mind of Christ. How can you understand what people are talking about unless you read what they write?
Yeah.
In Psalm 119, verse 99, there is a way to know more, to be a knower. To know God's Word, front to back. It says, I have more understanding than all my teachers. for thy testimonies. Testimonies, statutes, law, it's all the same. It's all the same. Are my what? Meditation. So folks, God tells Joshua, he says, you want to do this, you've got to have the presence. You've got to have God's word present in your life. And over God's word to work in your life, you've got to meditate on it. You've got to think about it. Philippians 4:8 says, whatsoever things are pure, honest, just, to be in virtue, be anything, think on these things. Think on these things. It's going to, you have to make it a priority in your time. You have to make it a priority in totality. Amen. You have to make it, you have to, it's worth it. It brings worship. And it tells you what God wants you to do the way He wants it. And then you'll understand the why. But you won't do it unless you meditate on God's word. It won't work. Thirdly, as we close, there's the promise of spiritual success. Folks, success is not based on how much you own. It's based on how much you know Him. That's where success comes from. My Bible tells me this. Christ tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and what? All these things be added unto you. So He says, if you meditate on this, you'll understand the what, the why, and you'll do what I'm telling you to do. But then, it says, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have what? Good success. And every good gift and every perfect gift comes from who? From above. From the Father of lights, for whom there is never a shadow of variableness returning. James chapter 1. It's prosperity God's way. Who do you want to hear at the end of your life? People saying, he was a good man, or Christ saying when you stand in His presence, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Amen.
That's where success lies. That's where prosperity lies. In Psalm chapter 1, verse 3, we read this for the kids. And he shall be like a what? Tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Folks, we need to plant ourselves in God's word.
Amen.
And it's going to do several things. It's going to bring forth fruit.
Amen.
The second thing is, you won't be dead.
Amen.
And the third thing is, you'll be prosperous. God's word. God's word. Christ told His disciples, He said, you have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed. You could say, to this mountain, remove, and it would. It doesn't matter how big the task is. My God's bigger than that.
Amen.
It doesn't matter how long the task is. My God's eternal.
Amen.
It doesn't matter how much I need to learn. He's omniscient.
Amen.
My God's bigger than all those things. And I'll have prosperity God's way because I'm going to do things God's way. And I'll understand what God wants me to do. And then you'll have success God's way. You'll have success God's way. When Daniel was anointed king, he was not king immediately. Saul was still the king and there was friction between those two. But David found out that when he followed God, people came to him, people followed him. They followed him and made Saul mad and tried to kill David. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 14, it talks about having good success. It says, and David behaved himself wisely in what? All his ways. And the Lord was what? Was with him. Folks, success is having God with you. I'll never leave you. There's no weapon that's fashioned against you that shall what? Prosper. Deuteronomy chapter 28. In the first part of that, God gives the nation of Israel a choice. He says, you follow me or you don't. If you follow me, the verses before these say, you'll do what I want you to do. I'll bless you. I'll give you all these things. People will run away from you. The enemies can't stand in front of you. And then he says this at the end. He said, and the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, and the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto the fathers to give thee. See, don't worry about trying to do get stuff. Worry about trying to please God. That's how you can stand alone, because God's with you. That's how you can take on these massive things head on, because God's with you. And you have understanding, and you have God's strength and power. What does God want in us? What does God want in us? Well, the answer is found in verse 9. This morning we've seen the scripture. We've seen what God expects out of us in the Word. But look at what verse 9 says. He asked Joshua, he says, Have not I commanded thee? Jesus is speaking today. God is speaking today. Now the issue is, what are we going to do? Are we keep on doing it our way? Or are you going to surrender to God and do it His way? It says, be what? Strong. You can only be strong through God. And of a good courage. How can you have courage? You can only be good through God. Be not afraid. Don't be afraid of the size of the task, or the length of the task, or the enemies that are in the way. Neither be thou dismayed. Sometimes people just roll up in a little ball and die. You see, I need a happy pill. I can't do this. Jesus is still there. He's still there. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So I have a question. How is the Word of God to you this morning? Has it departed from your mouth? Has it departed from your life? Are you meditating on it? Or is this saying, well, that was a good sermon, I'm done for the week. Check. Church done. No, it's a lifestyle for us. We need to have a Christian worldview. We need to see things through the lens of God's Word and act that way. Disciples had a hard time learning that. It's hard at times, but it can be done by the grace of God and through His Holy Spirit. The way you have the Holy Spirit is you know Him as your Savior.
Amen.
If you die right now, would you go to heaven? That's something you say you're still working on. If you say you're still working on it, you're not going.
That's right.
Because Christ did everything He needed to do on the cross.
That's right.
He lived a perfect life. He died for man's sins on the cross. He was buried for 3 days. And after 3 days, He rose again to show that He has power over death, which is the wage of sin, the penalty for sin, the payment for sin. And He has life, which He can give to us. He sits on the right hand of God, offering forgiveness of sins and eternal life to all who will ask Him and have Him be made Savior of the world. For us, if we are a Christian, we need to be following His Word. We need to understand that there's no task too big. And what God's called us to do, He's given us all the tools right here to do it. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this day. Lord, I just ask You this time of invitation. Father, just search our hearts, Lord, and help us, Lord, just to be more like You. Father, help us to heed the words that You called to Joshua, that we'd be strong and very courageous. Help us not to turn tail and run at the first trial and tribulation we have in our life, Lord, but to cry out to You and to see the Word of God work in our lives, Lord, to solve the problem. Lord, I just ask, just help us, Lord, to just follow You. If there's someone here who does not know You as Savior, Lord, I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. We give You this time. We ask that the Holy Spirit have full reign. We ask the same in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.